The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Thank you for joining us on this edition. We're looking ahead to Thursday's racing from Chelmsford City on this version of the podcast. We've also got jumps racing, hopefully from Fontwell, Kelso and Leicester throughout the course of the day. Ground looking pretty testing at all three venues. Hopefully all three get the go ahead. Clonmel have already been forced to abandon their meeting on Thursday, but we do have Chelmsford City to come on Thursday evening as well. You can join Darren Owen in the company of Sean Quinn and Chris Pimlott for all of the action. From around about 1:15 Thursday afternoon. Sam Norris here, joined by Tom Morley on today's podcast to take a look at two from Chelmsford on Thursday. How are you, Tom?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
All being well, at least Chelmsford should go ahead.
Yes.
It's going to require some very strange weather, I'd have thought, for that one to be off. But some of the others could be in danger looking outside and what's floating around again.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a struggle to get some of these jumps meetings on over the last couple of weeks. But as you say, the all-weather action not affected, which is all you're really that bothered about, I suppose, isn't it?
Being selfish, yeah.
Plenty of people will be looking ahead to Cheltenham. I suppose we're not too far away from the start of the turf season, Tom, which will be presumably pricking your interest a little bit more.
Hopefully the horses are well on the way to getting their fitness up, so they'll be ready to go quite early. As I think, you know, get in before some of the others are fit and ready to, and the ones that horses have been running on the all-weather, obviously they'll be fit, and it's just a question of obviously weird ground, perhaps starts the turf season on the flat as well. I mean, the way it's being, it's all it does is rain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You've had a few running throughout the course of the winter on the artificial surfaces. Is that the general plan to get those going early on in the season and try and beat the rush? Are the majority of your string fit and firing, ready to go?
I would say this year there's probably only been four or five that have really been running a lot on the all-weather, and some of those, like Pactolus, don't really have any turf form, so he'll probably go quiet before, unless I do something else with him coming back again next winter. But he's going to struggle. I mean, he's got a lower turf mark, so maybe we'll try and exploit that. But he would need fast ground, as far as I'm concerned, for turf, which is unlikely the way it's going to happen. Well, it might not happen full stop. We don't really get fast ground anymore in this country.
No, true.
Only go and water if it is a bit of sun. But I'm hoping the ones that haven't been out over the winter are going to be pretty forward as well and getting early. There's a couple that I can think of, Allerdale, that I bought in October, that likes cut in the ground, for instance, so I'd hope that one would be ready to go. I have a feeling Me Too Nagasaki, that might be out reasonably early as well, so we'll see. A few of them will translate from the all-weather onto the turf and see if they can do a few bits and pieces before it, if you like, gets into full swing.
Yeah. Any you're particularly looking forward to? Obviously you've been busy at the sales. There's a fair few new acquisitions.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I haven't heard a great deal about them. I don't worry about them until...
Is no news good news on that front? Or?
Well, someone would ring me up if one had died. Well, so that's you can't be that bad, I hope. So,
one piece. Yeah.
I'm not too worried. The yearlings that obviously are now two that I bought in America, Robert has sent me a couple of videos of them. They look like they've got four legs and go up the gallops, but I couldn't tell you much more about them. But I think he was reasonably complimentary about one or two of those. And I think with a bit of luck, at least one of those will be fairly early as well. I guess they're probably, a lot of the horses aren't into the quicker work yet, so maybe it's still a bit early days for the trainers to be able to really accurately say that they're doing anything more than progressing nicely.
Okay, good stuff. We had the Grand National Weights dinner last night as well. Just spin you through, listeners, a quick show of the Grand National betting. Don't worry, Tom, I'm not, going to ask you for a 33-1 dark horse for the Grand National.
It's one of those ones. It's, you know, Grand National Day, I get all these texts. What's going to win the Grand National? Well, you could have asked me for an 8-runner race at Lingfield all winter, and you just want me to pick out a random winner.
That's the problem with these once-a-year horse racing fans. They only come to you when there's a 40-runner handicap chase over 4 and a bit miles. Black Line, the 10-1 favourite. Total Recall is the one that came in for significant support after the weights announcement at 14-1. Cause of Causes is 20-1. We've definitely read the top weight. Manana Rock and The Last Samurai, both also 20-1. 25s and Bigger the Rest, Annabelle Fly and Gold Present amongst the two at 25-1. Don't suppose you do have a fancy for the National after the weights announcement last night, Tom?
Well, I think Cause of Causes, just because it is, if you like, probably earmarked for the race, it is, you know, providing nothing goes wrong between now and the 14th of April. I would have thought on the 13th of April it will be much shorter price.
Yes.
But that is about as much of a view I would have at this stage. I think the, you know, get to the race, get to the week, see what the weather's doing would be my personal view before I was particularly interested in you know, picking a horse at marginally bigger odds now. But Cause of Causes, if you had to nail me to one at this moment in time, that would be the one.
20-1 for Cause of Causes. It's worth noting, though, I suppose, horses that are laid out for this race, it's not really the kind of race that you want to back a horse in that's gone there as a bit of an afterthought.
No.
You'd rather one be laid out for a contest like this.
Yeah, definitely. You know, obviously it is still a marathon event, and therefore if they've had a hard season, oh, we'll just chuck this in at the end of the campaign. That's probably not ideal.
Plenty of good racing to come, of course, at the weekend as well. Got the Ascot Chase as well with a cue card set to be reunited with Paddy Brennan, top-notch, the market leader for that race as well. Plenty of good racing to come, including on Thursday. We're going to take a look at a couple of contests on Thursday's race meeting at Chelmsford now with Tom hopefully supplying us with a couple of winners, beginning with the opener, which is the 5.55, an amateur rider's handicap over a mile. Kickstarts us here, field of eight, a dance to take their chance in this. And where do you start with this one, Tom?
Yeah, possibly not the most original selection, but it's the top horse, Paddy A. You know, in this type of race, jockey capability is fairly crucial. And Simon Walker is the bee's knees in this type of event. Course form for Chelmsford's also, I think, quite crucial around this track. This horse won over course and distance back in May for his previous yard. Draw on the outside, not ideal. But I think in this type of race, I have the confidence that it won't be too much of a problem. You know, sometimes if it was 14 runners and you're drawn 13, 14 in a really competitive, high-class 0-95 race, then an outside draw, I think, would be a real issue. But here, I think, given the, if you like, the type of horses and the type of riders, and hopefully that draw out wide isn't going to be too much of an issue. The horse himself, well, pretty dismal form on his first three runs for this yard, but last week showed out a bit more at Newcastle when fourth. Good step in the right direction. Now off a mark lower than his victory. Gets the first-time visor to help as well. You know, everything looks in place for a big run. I can't see why they would have booked Simon Walker and, if you like, had the good run, then stick the visor on a course we know he can handle, unless they were expecting a very good run. And if we look at his opposition, we can see it's no great shakes. The second horse, Arlecchino's Leap, hasn't won for ages, usually runs over shorter, and is not in great form anyway. Tagur has a 1 from 22 record, his best form's over shorter. Bit disappointing last time, connections change headgear to try and bring out a bit more, but that's going to be needed, to be honest. Venusius, an old boy who's been dismal for this yard. German Whip does have some form here, but that was from over a year ago, and all outings this winter have been, to my eyes, woeful. Marikib, that had been running respectably for his previous yard at the back end of 2017. Changed hands for $8,000 last month. First run for new yard was not bad, especially if you look at the fact he reared at the start. So I think Marikib would be one of the main opposition. Decent jockey on board there as well, but the horse does have a huge losing run. Robert the Painter, new yard for this veteran. His three runs this winter for the previous yard were dire. And then you've got Ted's Brother, who would certainly have a place chance and did win here in December, but that was over further. Mark's still £7 higher now, needs to cope with the drop in trip. But I think Ted's Brother's probably one that could sneak into the places. But, you know, so you're looking through that. There's not many ticks in many boxes for these, and Paddy A looks to have been, I'm not going to say they've laid it out for this race, because I find that would be a slightly strange thing to do. But it does look a very winnable opportunity and has got certainly some ticks in the boxes. And I think that would be my nap of the Chelmsford card tomorrow night.
Padier then in the opener. Many people do just tend to look at the jockeys in these races, so no surprise that Simon Walker's mount is the selection and Serena Brotherton's mount is the danger, Tom.
Yeah, to be honest. And I mean, the downside is that they tend to get overbet and quite often shorter prices than they should be, because it catches the eye, doesn't it, when Simon Walker's put on one. But you know, you look down the opposition and everything looks in place for a big run.
Okay, Paddy A in that one. Then we go on to the 7 o'clock then, which is a novice stakes over a mile and a quarter. Eight runners lining up for this one, and certainly the top three have all ran with promise so far to date in their careers. It could be a half-decent heat, this.
I think so. And my selection here again is the top weight, Sir Hamilton. You know, I think there's every chance he's going to be a longer price than perhaps he ought to be, because people will look at him being trained by Dennis Quinn. Mm. Compare that to the trainers of the opposition. Obviously, Godolphin are going to have beautiful memory in the race. And I think they get blinded by that. You know, what would the odds be? How far would the odds be different if you swap the trainers, for instance?
Yep.
So with a bit of luck, you should get a bit of a better price than perhaps you ought to. Admittedly, does have to give weight to all the other horses, but he's got a decent jockey, Martin Harley, who hopefully can judge the tactics perfectly as well. And the horse, Sir Hamilton, you know, ran well on debut at Newmarket. It was a 200-1 shot, if I recall, that day. Came mid-division. But that's possibly, again, due to being an unfashionable stable in that. And it was no disgrace at all. And he then won here when he was 12-1. Won really nicely that day. So the track certainly holds no fears. Went to Kempton and cruised to another success. And you know, you look at that race. The second horse has won a handicap nicely since. The third horse has won a novice event at the end of last month. The fourth horse has won a novice event at the start of this month. So the form's been franked somewhat. And I just think he must have really strong claims here. Can't see any reason why the extra distance should be a problem. Most logical opposition comes from the Godolphin horse, Beautiful Memory, who after a couple of placed efforts literally spread eagled the field in a first-time hood over course and distance on the 20th of Jan. Strong display. While she may not have beaten much, she did dismiss them readily, and you can only do that at the end of the day. So I think that is the most logical opposition, but I think almost certainly at the respective prices, I just feel that my selection, Sir Hamilton, that's a decent horse and two decent runs there. So, you know, Beautiful Memory is going to face a lot different opposition. Ambient has his first run for a new yard, already been turned over five times in his career at relatively short prices for the previous yard. I think that's got to find something more to, you know, to really feature against the front two, well, what I would view as the front two in the market, whether it is when the race day comes, and be another thing. The rest, Bond Street Bow, ran better last time but looks to have much to find. Charles Vane finished last on its only start. Finisher, very expensive yearling. You know, one would anticipate improvement from his debut now that he's been gelded, but this could be a pretty decent race for this type of race. So I think maybe one to look for the future, maybe Finisher, but up against it here. Legal History shown bits of promise both starts, and yeah, it's likely to improve further. But again, to me, looks to be facing tough opposition, and Nordic Flight's got a tough debut as far as I can see. So I think Sir Hamilton, with a bit of luck, we should get a bit bigger of a price than maybe we ought to, and has got some really strong credentials from those two victories in particular.
So Hamilton in that 7 o'clock then, who could end up being a touch overpriced at Chelmsford. Remind us then once more of the nap and the next best at Chelmsford on Thursday evening.
So the nap was Paddy A in the 5.55 at Chelmsford, and the next best, Sir Hamilton, in the 7 o'clock at Chelmsford.
Excellent stuff. There we are, Tom Morley, previewing the action at Chelmsford on Thursday. You can hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1.15 with Darren Owen, Sean Quinn and Chris Pimlott in the studio. Thanks for that, Tom, and best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.